Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday night roundup, and we've had a few technical glitches coming to you from Washington, D.C. tonight live. Maybe it has something to do with what I'm going to talk about this evening. We are going to talk about the death of capitalism as we know it. All over the world, people are waking up. They're waking up to the fact that these bankers and these corporations, these multinationals, these people that have hidden their money in Liechtenstein, the Channel Islands, the Isle of Man, the Cook Islands, Antigua, and all these other places, we're waking up to the fact who the crooks are, and people want heads to roll, or at least hang. We will be right back and talk about this right after this short break. Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Night Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. That's toll-free. Before we went on a break, I was mentioning what is happening around the world. Who would have ever thought that the world revolution against this vulture, vile capitalism would have started in, of all places, Reykjavik, Iceland, because these vultures, these shysters, these con artists decided to loot that little nation dry. And now it has moved to Ireland, from Iceland to Ireland. There was a massive 100,000 people on the streets of Dublin today. They were, by the way, the signs they were carrying and the banners they were carrying were not green, as you might think you would find in Ireland. They were red. I've been saying this for a long time. Now that everyone's had a taste of unbridled capitalism, they've found their pensions looted, their savings accounts empty, their stocks worthless. Well, now that they've had a taste like of that, you know, let's hear all about Reagan's trickle down and Obama's tax cuts. You know, we're talking about nationalizing the banks. That's a good idea, I think. It's a good idea to nationalize them, the auto companies, the oil companies. But who's going to be put in charge of these nationalized companies? The same people that drove them into bankruptcy. Not this government. This government is not the people we want running nationalized banks. This government needs to be purged. The last thing we need is Ben Bernanke and his gang taking over the banks. So in that respect, I'm against nationalization. You put the workers, you put the people that work for those banks, the people that were laid off, you put them in charge of the banks, and now we're talking, but not these people who, I mean, it's like putting the person in charge of bank security who just robbed the bank. You don't do that, and that's just a bad idea. So we've gone from Bernie Madoff, this shyster, this con artist, who's now, he's sitting in his penthouse, luxurious penthouse home on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He's not in jail. And then we get, quote unquote, a knighthood down in Antigua in the Caribbean. He's a Texas poltroon from Houston who was not arrested. He's got a potential Ponzi scheme going bigger than Madoff, potentially. He's tied in with Madoff. We know that. Let's listen to this CBS News report. One of the few times CBS actually did any kind of investigative journalism. Not for a long time have they done that. Let's listen to what CBS had to say about this guy, Sir Alan Stanford of Houston, Texas, Antigua, St. Croix, and any other place that he's managed to put away his stash his funds. And we can play this clip.
We're moving on to a legend who started in real estate and expanded to emerging markets. Sir Alan Stanford is chairman and CEO of the Stanford Financial Group, whose assets are in the neighborhood of $50 billion, and he joins us this morning. Sir Alan, great to have you on the program. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. For those who aren't familiar with the firm, 62 companies founded during the Depression by your great-grandfather. You are the sole shareholder, and despite all the diversity you've got, you managed to avoid the subprime debacle almost entirely, didn't you?
100% we avoided the subprime debacle.
How did you do that? What made you, and I'm sure you had the opportunity to embrace some of that risk, what told you it was not a wise move?
Well, it's very simple, because we never understood what the risk was. You know, securitized debt's been around for over three decades now. And when you start packaging something with a lot of assets that are all mixed up and you can't get your arms around what the real asset is, therefore what the risk is, we decided that whatever perceived profits there might be, we decided not to take that risk, because we didn't know what the risk really was, and the perceived profits really became irrelevant.
Kind of makes you wonder whether or not the banks, what they were thinking, and whether or not they really understood it, doesn't it?
I think we're going to see a lot of problems surface during the first quarter of 2009.
Right. Before we let you go, is it fun being a billionaire?
Well, yes. Yes, I have to say it is fun being a billionaire.
But it's hard work.
Yeah, well, laugh now, Mr. Stanford. We just found out today that Dennis Kucinich, who's the chairman of one of the oversight subcommittees, wants to know why the SEC decided not to pursue Mr. Stanford. Just like this guy, Harry Markopoulos, said he repeatedly warned the SEC about this Madoff character, and he did nothing. Now we find out from a New York Times article that another federal agency contacted the SEC and said, back off your investigation of Stanford. Well, it's quite clear what agency that is, because now we know that in November last year, Hugo Chavez's military intelligence people raided one of Stanford's banks in Caracas, seized their documents, and then the Venezuelan government announced that three employees of Mr. Stanford in Caracas were U.S. intelligence agents. I tell you, they were not working for the border patrol. They were CIA. Stanford looks like he was a money laundering operation for the CIA. Madoff looks like he was one for the Mossad, maybe with a little bit of CIA involvement. But neither one of these guys are sitting in jail. That's where they belong. The last clip you heard was when Stanford was going around to all these cricket matches. He was sponsoring cricket tournaments in the Caribbean and England. He sponsored St. Jude's Hospital golf tournaments in Tennessee. The guy is not in jail. He was on the lam, and where did they find him? Fredericksburg, Virginia. Well, and that's not too far from the place he obviously was working for, the Central Intelligence Agency headquarters in Langley. And General Hayden is no longer the director there, but I think Mr. Hayden has some questions. I won't even call him general. This guy should have his star, you know, well, he's retired, but they ought to have a ceremony where they get this guy Hayden and tear the four stars like Chuck Connors in the old TV show Branded. Just tear his stars off his shoulder, pull his ribbons off his uniform, and then tar and feather this guy. Hayden was running an illegal operation at the CIA, just as he was running one that eavesdropped on all of us at NSA. This guy doesn't have – I will not give him the respect to call him a general. I shouldn't even call him a mister. I mean, he's just a guy who sharpened pencils his entire Air Force career. He doesn't deserve the respect to be called general. He belongs in jail with Mr. Madoff and Mr. Stanford and the rest of these criminals. Anyway, we will listen to this next clip. This is the CBS News report on Stanford, and you'll get the flavor of what this guy was involved with if we can listen to this report from CBS.
R. Allen Stanford is not shy about flaunting his wealth. In November, he paid $20 million to stage a cricket championship on the Caribbean island of Antigua, publicly with the prize money.
Half of the Stanford Financial Group.
Just 3 months before, he hobnobbed with top Democrats in Denver as the lead sponsor of the National Democratic Institute Conference.
I'd like to thank the Stanford Financial Group.
Since 2000, Stanford has funneled $1.7 million to politicians. $4,600 last year to President Obama's campaign. But today, federal agents raided Stanford's offices in Memphis and Houston and froze the assets of three of his companies, accusing Stanford and two others of massive ongoing fraud, of selling customized certificates of deposit, promising interest rates that are improbable, if not impossible. Officials say Stanford lost some of his clients' money in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, and overall may have bilked up to $8 billion from investors like Brett Zigoni.
My mom just passed away a few months ago. All of the money from her estate is here. My brother and I was executor of the estate. I have money from my sister and brother in here, and that's why I'm here.
Stanford's financial empire has a global reach with offices in Montreal, Zurich, and Antigua, with 50,000 clients in 131 countries. And his sponsorship of high-profile golf tournaments and golfers has spread his brand. But James Dunlap, who represents a number of Stanford investors, says the fraud fallout is also global.
I'm getting calls from people who have lost from as little as $100,000 to north of $10 million.
Stanford has not been arrested and does not yet face criminal charges. His company is refusing all comments, but his clients have plenty of questions. Number one, will they ever see their money? Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Well, obviously, they will never see their money. The money has been chewed up. It didn't disappear. Madoff's money didn't disappear. I reported a few weeks ago that it looks like an awful lot of Madoff's money wound up in Israel. Isn't it funny there's no demonstrations in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem from people who lost their money there? The demonstrations are in Copenhagen, Dublin, Reykjavik, Iceland, Riga, Latvia, Vilnius, Lithuania, Athens, Greece. These are the countries. These are the countries, not Israel. So guess who's got the money? No demonstrations in Israel. Restaurants are packed with people. Restaurants here in Washington are going out of business. Stores are going out of business. Everybody in Israel's got a lot of money. No wonder they want this war criminal Netanyahu as their new prime. He's a new prime minister because he's going to protect this criminal state called Israel from any kind of retaliation or retribution. For those who may not have seen my website, I'm still continuing my boycott of Starbucks because their CEO, Howard Schultz, is an arch supporter of Israel, and I will not drink that coffee, which he gives these odd Esperanto names. I refuse to speak that language, whatever that language is, but more so I don't want any of my money going through his grants to the Israeli state and Israeli enterprises. So I understand that the boycott of Starbucks has actually been quite successful in Lebanon, which is very interesting. Anyway, we will be right back with your calls right after these short messages.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wayne Manson Report, the Saturday Night Roundup, and our toll-free number here, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We're talking about the global economic meltdown this evening. If you're watching the 24/7 corporate-controlled George Orwell telescreens, otherwise known as MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News, they are digging up Chandra Levy. Well, there's a reason for that. They got a guy who's already in prison who they're going to say he's the guy who killed her in 2001, and they finally figured it out, and this guy's already supposedly incarcerated, an El Salvadorian immigrant, ne'er-do-well. That's easy. That's easy. But you see what they're doing. They're trying to get the attention of the American people because they're watching what's going on in the streets in Dublin. Believe me, people in Ireland and Iceland and Denmark and Latvia and Lithuania, it's terrible that Chandra Levy was killed, and I've written extensively about the real reason she was killed, and it has a lot to do with 9/11. But that's not the story today. The story today is that people have had it with the system, and I want to paraphrase a French philosopher of the Enlightenment. This was in the 1700s, Denis Diderot, and I've changed one word. He said, "Man will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest." And I've changed that now. Man will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last banker. And what we're seeing taking place here, and look, Obama is part of this problem. What did he do? What did he do tonight? He announced tax cuts. Like, that's what is he channeling Ronald Reagan? I mean, it was Reagan and Bush and this crowd and Clinton right behind it. By the way, in the clip from CBS where you heard you heard somebody appraising the Stanford Financial Group. That was Bill Clinton in Denver at the Democratic National Committee. This guy Stanford gave money to the Democrats and the Republicans. Why? Well, look who he was really working for. Look who he was laundering money for. He was laundering money for the Mexican drug cartels. Why did he have banks in Colombia? Well, what comes out of Colombia other than coffee? And coffee isn't the big cash crop out of Colombia. It's cocaine. And the Bush family's been involved in the cocaine trade for many, many years. As a matter of fact, the CIA, it should really stand for the Cocaine Import Agency. Forget the Central Intelligence Agency, because there's very little intelligence you will find at the CIA. We know that from the fact they had this screwball Michael Hayden as a director up there after he made a mess of things at the National Security Agency. You know, the Bush administration had a penchant for promoting people to their next highest level of incompetence. Again, if you'd like to call the program, it's 800-313-9443. I was talking about how this guy Stanford, by the way, Stanford, you heard in one of the news reports that that his company was founded during the Depression. He claims he's a descendant of the guy who founded Stanford University in California. Stanford University has checked the records, says this guy's not our Stanford. There was a Stanford who was the governor of California. It's not the same family. So this guy, I wonder what his real name is. You know, it's probably not Stanford, but they said that he's tied up with the Madoff Ponzi scheme. Let's listen to this clip. This is when Madoff was waxing about the great changes in Wall Street that enabled him to rip off $50 billion. And we can play this clip of Bernie Madoff, the guy who's doing his penance now in his Upper East Side Manhattan luxury home.
We are today. Everybody was making a very good living. Regulatory.
So commissions have, even since deregulation, obviously at deregulation they dropped a ton, but they've kept dropping since then?
Well, they've gone down to virtually nothing. So what you have now outside of Mickey and a number of firms, other discount firms like hers, nobody really wants to do retail business any longer because nobody wants to do business for 5 cents a share when it used to be 75 cents a share. And Wall Street, so just so you understand the scope of it, is one of the few industries where the cost of doing business for the consumer has gone down dramatically from a commission standpoint.
Madoff, what has to happen to Madoff, what has to happen to Stanford, what has to happen to Bernanke and Geithner and all the other people, is if there's any carpenters listening to me tonight on this show, come to Washington. I'll help you. I'm not a carpenter, but I know how to hammer nails. Help me build the scaffolds that we can erect on the Washington Mall between the U.S. Capitol building and the Washington Monument, scaffolds that we can erect. And I was in the Navy. I know how to tie the ropes. But let's hang them. Let's hang them. You know, Stanford is served papers by the FBI. They don't arrest them. Then we hear that the SEC, the regulatory agency, was called off by another federal agency. We know who that is. That's the CIA guys. And that Madoff is ordered by this judge, this trial judge in New York, to a luxurious Upper East Side Manhattan home. That's not justice. If you're an African American male in this country and you steal a six pack of Budweiser out of a 7-Eleven, you're going to do 8 to 10 years. And if it's a six pack, you're doing life because of the three strikes and you're out clause in many, many states. And these guys steal billions, $50 billion here, $50 billion there, and nothing happens to them? I think it's time for the people to take – we'll hold their trial. We'll hold their trial. We'll figure out – we'll get the people, and we'll hold their trial, and we'll mete out the justice. This is Wayne Massey. We will be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Matson Report, coming to you live tonight from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. As we witness not only here in the U.S., but around the world, the meltdown of a system that was just from the very beginning fraught with failure. This unregulated, capitalistic vulture capitalism, vampire capitalism, a disaster capitalism, whatever you want to call it, whether, you know, the Naomi Klein take on things. I noted this past week a former reporter for the New York Times, who's no longer obviously with the Times, based on what he's written, Chris Hedges, basically said, hey, dust off your Karl Marx. It's coming back. And everywhere you look, people are really waking up. But with the 24-hour cable corporate propaganda channels, you know, they're now going to shove Chandra Levy at you. They're going to be shoving the next blonde-haired girl who falls off a cruise ship. I'm sure that's being planned as we speak right now. And that's all you're going to get. As a matter of fact, here in Washington, we've lost Stephanie Miller off the airwaves because this guy Dan Snyder, this right wing idiot that owns the Washington Redskins, a bunch of other stuff. He owns a radio station. He took her off the air. Nova M Radio, that was carrying Mike Malloy and Randy Rhoads, is no more. It's filed for bankruptcy. They're off the air. The people who will give you the truth are off the air. They're going off the air one by one because the powers that be, and it's not just the David Rockefellers of the world. It's also these people like George Soros, these snakes in the grass who pretend are progressive. You know, a lot of the problems we have now is because of George Soros, his hedge funds, and his undercutting national currencies, causing massive unemployment. This guy has absolutely no right to call himself a progressive. By the way, when those scaffolds are built here on the Washington Mall, if all you carpenters listening, if there's any carpenter, you come in here and help me build the scaffolds, Soros will be up there with the rest of them. This situation is completely out of hand, out of control. They're trying to feed us pig slop, and we know what's behind this. And people, like I say, are waking up. 100,000 people in the streets of Dublin today, and that's a lot of people in a small city like Dublin. Believe me, governments falling around the world, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is supposedly an advisor to Mr. Obama, has now said in an interview that he expects rioting to break out in the United States. Well, we know under the guise of anti-terrorism, we know what the cops have and the troops have in their possession. They have all these fancy weapons. They call it non-lethal weaponry. It makes you heat up from inside like being put in a microwave oven. They've got that little toy. They've got these tasers. They've got these things that can throw plasma like something out of some futuristic Star Wars movie. They throw a plasma beam at you. They have these sonic weapons to make you lose your bowel control. What we do is we get these weapons and we put everybody that has these weapons or ordered these weapons to be used in a stadium and just use those weapons on them. We'll stand up there on the bleachers and put them in the infield and just aim all these weapons at them and let's see how they like it. That's what we do. They like these toys so much. Let's give them a taste of the medicine that these fancy little toys can deliver. Because the people have had it, and I think it's going to take a long time for people in this country to wake up. But we're seeing it happen slowly but surely. We saw a little bit of it in Chicago with the people that took over that factory. Of course, Blagojevich went to give him his support, and the next day he was arrested. Series of events is starting to smell very bad, just like what's happening to Roland Burris. It's quite clear that the NSA is sharing wiretap information with federal prosecutors without a court order, and they're taking down one governor, one senator who doesn't go along with the program at a time until they're left with just the poltroons and the pantloads that run this government, the people like Jay Rockefeller over in West Virginia. I mean, the last name should indicate everything. Why is Rockefeller a senator? He's representing not the state of West Virginia. He's representing Rockefeller interests. It's not the only family like that. We can go on with the Bushes and the Tafts of Ohio and all these other now, of course, the Clinton dynasty. And it looks like we've got pretty much more of the same with Obama. It looks like he's one of these let's just go along to get along. He sounds good, but what's coming out from this White House is more pablum for the Wall Street fat cats at the expense of the people. I mean, he's talking about tax cuts. No, let's talk about expropriation of ill-gotten gains. Let's talk about not nationalizing the banks unless you put the banks in the hands of the workers who have been laid off from those banks, the auditors who tried to call attention to what was going on in the banks who probably got laid off or lost their jobs. Let's give it to them, not these people like Geithner and Greenspan and the rest of these criminals, but that's what has to happen. Let's listen. You're going to hear this in the Russian language, but we've all been here before. History repeats itself. It's cyclical. Let's listen to this clip, and I'll let you'll hear some English sounding words in the speech, and we can play this next clip.
Товарищи красноармейцы, капиталисты Англии, Америки, Франции ведут войну против России. Они мстят Советской Рабочей и Крестьянской Республике за то, что она свергла власть помещиков и капиталистов и дала тем пример для всех народов Земли.
Капиталисты Англии, Франции, Америки... You can probably figure out, you heard the words capitalism in there. That was Vladimir Lenin ranting about the capitalists of his day. They were all basically running Russia. They ran that country into the ground. People were starving to death. When Chris Hedges said, dust off your marks, when a former reporter, top reporter for the New York Times tells you that that's what has to happen, I think you can understand how far this has gotten out of hand. I mean, this is Chris Hedges, not formerly of the Daily Worker. This is Chris Hedges, formerly of the New York Times. People are starting to wake up, and I think the powers that be are starting to get a bit nervous about what's coming down the pike. Anyway, if you'd like to call the program tonight, the number again, 800-313-9443. I mentioned some places around the world where rioting is breaking out. In addition to Ireland today, 100,000 people on the streets of Dublin. We have a protest in of all places, but Kazakhstan, a former Soviet republic. One protester was waving a portrait of Che Guevara. They were protesting the economy. And this is supposedly an oil rich country. In Guadeloupe, in the Caribbean, we're going to listen to this short clip here. If we can listen to this clip, this would have sounded like it's Baghdad or Pakistan or someplace. But let's listen to this news clip from this tourist destination in the Caribbean, the French island of Guadeloupe.
Delicate situation there. What more can you tell us?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still very tense here this evening. On a much smaller scale, however, than the night precedent so far, there are some small roadblocks alight as we've been driving around, pallets, tars, branches strewn across the roads. At one roundabout, there was a group of youths maintaining a roadblock, not letting any cars really pass, without questioning them at least first. They said that they had put this roadblock in place on Monday after police used force against protesters in Pointe-à-Pitre. These young men at the roundabout told us that they were ready to fight police forces if necessary and that they were armed. That there were some gunshots.
That is Guadeloupe. That is a tourist destination for cruise ships. The people there have had it with the French government bilking them, raising the price of everything. This neocon Sarkozy has just, I guess he's just figured out that France has some colonies because they're in rebellion. He tried to answer that with sending a riot police, and it just got worse. The French colonies, at first was Guadeloupe, and now it has spread to Martinique. The last word is French Guiana is the next. Réunion, which is an island in the Indian Ocean, New Caledonia in the Pacific, again, Iceland, Ireland, these French colonies all in rebellion. The days of the capitalists, believe me, folks, are over. Let's go to Kathy in Louisiana. Kathy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I was listening to you, and I'm glad that you're monitoring these riots because they're definitely not being covered by the mainstream media. I wanted to know if you had any information about President Obama having worked for the Business International Corporation. Someone brought it to my attention, and this Business International Corporation does have a Wikipedia entry, and apparently this company, it was his first job after graduating from Columbia University, and he held a position as a research associate in its financial services division, but apparently this company has admittedly been a cover organization for the CIA. So it was brought to my attention that possibly Obama he does work for the CIA, or at least he has in the past. Do you know anything about that?
Well, what I know about Business International Corporation, it was in business a long time, had offices around the world, was in New York. Obama went to work for them as a research assistant after he graduated from Columbia. I'm looking into other aspects of Obama's time there, but the head of Business International Corporation, who's deceased now, was quoted by his son, who took it over, saying that the CIA approached them and they gave cover of their journalists and research people. They gave the CIA cover under their corporation to four CIA agents. Now I got to think it was a heck of a lot more than that. If the company, if a corporate official says four, I think it was probably more. It was always rumored to be a CIA operation. Obama worked for them, and of course it was bought out later by the Economist Intelligence Unit. And a lot of people think the Economist Intelligence Unit is a branch of MI6, British Intelligence. So it does go to show that Obama was a lot more than just a community organizer in Chicago, that he may have old intelligence ties to Langley. And that's very troubling because why didn't he say anything about this? I mean, we all knew that Poppy Bush, when he became president, he had been the director of the CIA. He got elected. So what's the big secret here with Obama? I don't get it.
Right, it's really troubling because other people have had ties to the CIA, and it was no secret. As a matter of fact, some politicians used it to their advantage, saying that they're more capable of being commander in chief. But it seems like his ties have been hidden very, very well. And so I was wondering, what foreign languages does he know? You know, what exactly is he going to do with the U.S.'s relationship with Israel if he's really, if he really does have ties to the CIA and he's kept it hidden? It makes one wonder if they've been grooming him for this position for quite some time.
Right. Well, we know he speaks from his time in Indonesia. He speaks Bahasa Indonesian. I believe I've heard him speak some Spanish. I'm not sure how good it is. It's got to be better than what Dovita spoke. I mean, he spoke the kind of Spanish you use to order mm-hmm. you know, tacos in a Mexican restaurant. But I'm looking a lot into more on Mr. Obama and those ties with BIC back in the early 80s. But we've got some other callers on the line. Let's try to get to them. Thanks for calling in, Kathy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you again. Joe from Florida has been holding on. Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, hi.
Hello,
Wayne.
Joe.
This whole attitude of nationalizing the banks really scares me. And the reason it scares me is because right now, if you're upside down in your mortgage and you walk away from your house, there's really not much the bank can do. But when you do, when the banks are run by the federal government, they can send troops to your house, put guns to your head, and take your liberties away, because all of a sudden they combine the power of the state with the banking industry.
I also think
when I heard this Bob Santelli rant on this Board of Trade there in Chicago, it's total classic misdirection. This bank bailout is really about bailing out the banks from upside-down mortgages. It isn't about helping the little subprime guy. The little subprime guy walks away from his house. The house is upside down anyway. Who's taking the beating? It's the bank. And this Obama program is what's going to bail the bank out, not the poor little guy. So this Santani or whatever his name is, they're trying to make him into some populist manufactured leader when the whole thing is classic misdirection.
You know, I would like – I agree with you. You know, it's one thing to nationalize the banks and turn it over to a guy like this guy Harry Markopoulos, who tried to blow the whistle on this guy Madoff. I would like to turn – if we're going to turn it over, let's turn it over to the people who knew what the problems were, the auditors that brought these – you know, how about the people that at Enron that knew what was going on? Let them run the – let them – these are the people that knew what was going on, trying to blow the whistle. And for one – you know, they either got fired or laid off or whatever. But to turn the banking industry over to the likes of Geithner and Robert Rubin and these arch criminals, that's who they're going to turn the banks over to, because if they go into receivership, they need to have a receiver. The receiver will work for the federal government, and you know who it's going to be. It's going to be the Rubins of the world. It's going to be the Bernankes of the world. That's absolutely the wrong – these are the wrong people. These are the criminals who got us into this mess. Now, if they say we're going to turn it over to the accountants who got fired and the auditors, the internal auditors and the external auditors, that's a different matter altogether. But, my God, I mean, turning it over to these people, it's just incredible. But anyway, let's get – thanks for calling in, Joe, from Florida. Leo from Massachusetts, are you on the line with us?
Hi.
Leo, hold on. We've got the bumper music for the commercial. We'll get back to you right after this short break. Okay, welcome back, and let's get back to our callers. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, coming live tonight from Washington. We have Leo on the phone from Massachusetts. Leo, are you with us still?
Yeah, so can we get
Hello,
to...
Leo.
Yeah, hello, hi. Yeah, so can we get the
Go
wood
ahead.
and the wheels and the rope, and we'll do it in effigy?
Hey, look, I, you know, there comes a time when you see our friends in Dublin, 100,000 Irish men and women on the street, you know, saying it. That's they've had it in Iceland. Those descendants of the Vikings, you know, out. Throwing the tear gas canisters back at the police at the parliament, trying to storm the parliament because either people bankrupted their country. You've got demonstrations in Guadeloupe and Martinique. There's a big general strike getting ready to take place in Italy, one in France.
Didn't you miss Poland? You skipped Poland.
Hey, Poland. Hey, look at Eastern Europe.
They're about to go under. Poland's about to crash.
Exactly. Exactly. So you know what? Lenin said the capitalists won't give the capitalists enough rope to hang themselves, and we're watching the hanging starting to take place right now. Stanford and Madoff. And look, there are other ones out there, believe me.
You know, I think we're kind of missing the boat. You see, the British, the Anglo Empire created Marx and Russian communism, and this is something people don't seem to understand.
Right. Well, I mean, what was the alternative? Queen Victoria? I mean, she had her progeny all over Europe.
Have you studied the French Revolution? Who really put the whole thing together?
Oh, absolutely. But of course, you had
Illuminati's.
Yeah, the Illuminati, which is going to be the subject of the next movie, the Dan Brown movie, which should be interesting, the Illuminati versus the Vatican. I don't know who I'd support in that kind of battle, but anyway.
We work together. You know, the trouble is we think we're pinning the tail on one donkey, except we're pinning the tail. There's a bunch of donkeys out there to pin the tails on, and the donkeys all work together. That's the problem.
Right, and then we have to try to start a new organization, I guess, and bet ourselves so we don't have any snakes in the grass or infiltrators. But anyway, Leo, thanks for calling. And we got Marilyn holding on from California. We can get to Marilyn in the short few minutes we have remaining. Marilyn, are you with us?
Wayne, I just want to make a couple of comments. One of the ladies asked why Obama would not reveal his ties to the CIA. Well, number one, the kind of people that would vote for Obama would not want to vote for somebody that was in the on the deep cover like that, and so they got to keep this cover. Of course, the people that would vote for Bush would think that's just great because they think, you know, we got to fight terrorists.
Yeah, exactly.
But they did a great job of making Bush, making Bush look really, really bad. So then they got to. Anybody's going to vote for Obama to get him out. In fact, that's what a lot of people said. We're voting for him because anybody's better than Bush. But what was funny was even as bad as Bush was, McCain was almost beating out Obama until they did that deliberate tanking of the financial markets and all that selling went on, and that's when Obama was pushed over the top. So, I mean, you know, they're struggling even to keep this guy in, you know.
Oh, I always thought W. Bush could have been the last president of the United States. Now I'm beginning to think that it could be Obama. He could be the Alexander Kerensky. Remember, Kerensky was the leader of post-Tsarist Russia, but he was the last prime minister of that particular country. Anyway, Marilyn, thanks for calling. Thank you, and that'll do it for this week with the Wayne Mass Report from Washington, D.C., and we will be back with you this time next week.